Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's Wednesday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Welcome to the program. On today's show, 9 car dealerships in Michigan, including one right here in Lansing, accused by the federal government of funneling money to the terrorist group Hezbollah. It's a complex trail of money, and we'll track it down. And Detroit now making all kinds of cuts to avoid an emergency financial manager, including plans to lay off hundreds of police officers and firefighters. But is that the right thing to do with a high rate of arson and murder? And are there any other options? But first, it's time to legalize it. Yes, I'm talking about marijuana, as advocacy groups in Michigan are now moving to put the outright legalization of pot on the November state ballot. To talk about what it will take and if it's a good idea, I'm joined by Matthew Abel, Michigan defense attorney and the director of the Committee for a Safer Michigan. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to be here.
Well, if Attorney General Bill Schuette was unhappy with the state medical marijuana law, he'll certainly make every effort to put down a law that legalizes pot in the state. Why push for this measure right now?
Well, partly because of Bill Schuette and the courts and the legislature and the way that medical marijuana patients have been treated. 3 years into this, there are so many people who have said to me, boy, if I knew it was going to be like this, I never would have started growing or never would have become a patient or applied for a card. People are being prosecuted on minor technicalities and being left with felony convictions, unfortunately. And so this came from a grassroots movement, basically, that we've been contacted here at the firm, at the Cannabis Council Law Firm and through other organizations, people who are frustrated with what's happening. So we began to meet on Monday nights, and this is what came out of it.
Now, there's legalization and there's decriminalization. These are two different things, right?
Yes. We spent weeks drafting a decriminalization proposal, and it was so complicated that even the people who supported it, by the time we got through the explanation, they said, no, that's just too complicated.
Now, what is so complicated about decriminalizing something rather than legalizing it?
Well, when you decriminalize it, there still are some types of penalties, and you have to decide what those penalties should be and where the cutoff limits are and what's appropriate. And eventually, we got down to the crazy discussion of, what should the penalty be for the use of marijuana by an adult? What should the penalty be for possession of marijuana? And we're arguing about, well, should you be able to get jail time or should you only be able to get a fine? And really the truth of it is you shouldn't be constrained from doing something that's not harmful.
But even if with legalization, there'd be issues of minors having access to it, so there'd have to be some rules in place, would there not?
Well, the same rules would apply to anyone who is under 21 years of age. This proposed constitutional amendment would make it legal, make it so that adults over 21 could not be prosecuted under state law for marijuana violations.
So the medical marijuana,
except for driving under the influence.
Sure, absolutely. Now, the medical marijuana law has been targeted because it was not specific enough. In terms of this legalization proposal, is it a fairly simple one, or does it have a whole set of components to it?
It's very simple. I'd be happy to read it. It's just one long sentence.
Okay, let's hear it.
For persons who are at least 21 years of age who are not incarcerated, marijuana acquisition, cultivation, manufacture, sale, delivery, transfer, transportation, possession, ingestion, presence in or on the body, religious, medical, industrial, agricultural, commercial, or personal use, or possession or use of paraphernalia shall not be prohibited, abridged, or penalized in any manner, nor subject to civil forfeiture, provided that no person shall be permitted to operate an aircraft, motor vehicle, motorboat, ORV, snowmobile, train, or other heavy or dangerous equipment or machinery while impaired by marijuana.
That's officially a run-on sentence. So
it's one sentence, but it's fairly It's very concise. I don't know about concise, but it's clear.
I see.
And it's comprehensive and it's understandable.
And the amounts wouldn't be a factor. So how would this work with the fact that it is still illegal federally?
Well, it currently is illegal federally, and even if someone has a Michigan medical marijuana card, that doesn't give them any protection under federal law. So it doesn't change anything about the federal law. But the fact is, the federal government does not have the resources to prosecute every possession or use or cultivation case, and that while even growing one plant is a felony under federal law, that it's not till you get to 100 plants where there's a 5-year mandatory minimum, at which the government's rule of thumb is that they're interested in prosecuting. But generally, the federal government does not prosecute cases that are under 100 plants or under 100 kilos, because a person can still go to trial and lose and get probation. That's a very inefficient use of governmental resources.
The reason why
the medical marijuana law was written so that a caregiver could only have a maximum of 72 plants is to keep it so that the federal government would not be interested.
I see. I'm talking to Matthew Abel, Michigan defense attorney and the director of the Committee for a Safer Michigan. Don't you think, though, Michiganders in general do, they have sympathy for those that are sick and they want them to have access to this medicine, but the idea of having marijuana available to all adults and have it be essentially become a bit of a popular drug in the state, that's generally something that's distasteful to them?
It's already a popular drug in this state. There are 150,000 medical marijuana patients who have registered in 3 years. Yes, a lot of them have serious medical conditions, and other of them, perhaps their conditions aren't quite as burdensome, but they still qualify as having some type of serious or chronic pain. The law was written very generally, and it's clear that the sky has not fallen, that there are no axe murders that are occurring because of this, and there is no increase in traffic accidents because of this. And why should it be illegal?
What about the factor that ultimately when you see kids, and we do have increasing rates of marijuana use among high school students. Now, some do point towards the medical marijuana laws being a factor in that when you have legal marijuana in Michigan, that you inevitably are going to have kids using marijuana more frequently in the state.
Well, any kid who wants it, who can already get marijuana, you can go to any high school and it's available. So this isn't about protecting the children. The way to protect the children is to be honest with them and tell them that this is something that is used by adults, that it should be treated like alcohol as far as keeping it away from children. And having it in the black market actually increases accessibility for children. We're kidding ourselves if we think that prohibition actually stops the flow of the prohibited substance. It just sends it underground, and things that are underground are more accessible to our children.
How certain are you that this will end up on the ballot in November?
Well, I'm not certain. I have a very good feeling about it. We have over 500 volunteers who have signed up at our website in the last few days at repealtoday.org, and we're kicking off the petition drive. Well, next Wednesday, the 11th, is the first day that we intend to collect any signatures, because those will still be valid on the filing deadline date of July 9th. We have to collect 322,609 valid signatures in a 180-day period. And we hope and plan to do that with all volunteer labor. The Michigan Medical Marijuana Law was done with $1 million funded by Progressive Insurance. And we don't have funds, but we have a lot of angry people who are motivated to do a lot of hard work.
With the medical marijuana law, obviously the majority of state voters supported that, although we did see, of course, that the Attorney General stepped in, made a case of it, and now many dispensaries are closed. Do you expect that state officials will respond if it does end up on the ballot and is, in fact, voted through?
Well, I'm mindful of the fact that there always could be litigation, but any litigation would be after the will of the voters has been expressed. And we've done enough research that we believe that the federal law allows it. Section 21 U.S.C. 903 of the U.S. Codes basically indicates that the federal government did not mean to occupy the entire field in the Controlled Substances Act, thereby leaving it for the states. If the states had to have the same laws as the federal government, then our marijuana laws would be different than they already are. And so we're not required to, you know, what about states' rights? What about the states as incubators of it? And since where does marijuana fall under the Commerce Clause for the ability for the federal government to regulate it? Marijuana was made illegal by fraud and misleading statements put to Congress back in the 20s. And that reefer madness has continued. Now the government has issued patents on the medical properties of cannabinoids, but they speak out of the other side of their mouth and say that it has no medical use.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was certainly interesting to see how things turn out to 6 months to get these over 300,000 signatures. And then we'll see what Michigan voters decide once, if it does end up being on the ballot. Matthew Abel?
I predict, Michael, that it will pass. If we get it on the ballot, it'll pass at a greater measure than the medical marijuana law passed.
Well, that would certainly change the dynamics here in the state. Matthew Abel, Michigan defense attorney and the director of the Committee for a Safer Michigan. Matt, thank you very much for joining me.
Sign up at repealtoday.org. Thank you very much for having me on, Michael.
Excellent.